The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome to Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. I'm so happy to have a guest today in the studio named David Hill. Now, David Hill is the founder and he heads up a ministry called the Iron Men. Iron Men. I like that. Not to be confused with Iron Man, but Iron Men, because God's called us to be men that are, well, I love that verse. It says, as iron sharpens iron. I'm sure that's where you're drawing the reference.
Proverbs 27:17.
Yeah. So does one man sharpen another. Now, I have a story in my life that I'll have to share with you during this broadcast about that very verse and how it impacted me as a young man.
Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. But David, welcome to my program.
It's good to be here, Mike. Thanks for inviting me.
I'm glad you're on The Shepherd. And first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you from this area in Florida, or where did you grow up? And how did you meet the Lord?
I am a Floridian. Okay. I grew up in North Miami Beach. And I moved from North Miami Beach in 1985, went to school in Virginia, Liberty University. So I'm one of Jerry's kids. And graduated in 1990 with the help of the Army, and did my officer basic course in Fort Sam Houston, and then moved here shortly thereafter, got married in 1991. Carolyn and I are celebrating 30 years together, two daughters, 23 and 20.
Wow. Yeah.
And we've lived here since 1991. Yeah.
91, year of Desert Storm.
Yeah, I remember it well.
Yeah, I bet you do. Now, you said you were in the military.
Army.
Okay, there you go. Man, that's awesome. How many years?
Altogether with the National Guard and my service for, you know, what I did for college and the ROTC program, it was 8.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for your service.
It's a pleasure.
Now, tell us a little bit about how that impacted your life.
My dad was a military man, and I always respected that about my dad. He was in Vietnam, and my dad taught me respect for others, respect for my mom, and I always saw that my dad was a disciplined man. And so when I went to college, I thought, one day I'd like to experience what the military did for my dad, for myself. And so the military basically was just a confirmation what my dad had already taught me related to being respectful. So, yeah.
What years did you serve?
Well, I started in 1987 with the National Guard and then joined the ROTC program right around that same period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the Army helped me finish college because I'm the first person in my family to ever gone to college. And my parents didn't have a lot of money. And so it helped that the Army was willing to say, hey, we'll pay for the rest of it as long as you give us 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Active duty anywhere?
I did some. My dad did airborne school, so he was an airborne guy, so I wanted to do that. So there was some short active duty periods for
and
training.
And you jumped
like that.
From planes?
A perfectly good airplane, yeah.
All right.
But I, you know, I'm not like some of my friends that have done lots and lots of jumps in combat, so I really just went through the training. So I did the five jumps in airborne school, but it was great. Certainly did the officer basic course, did basic training, advanced course, and other types of things. But I never saw active duty as you would define it.
Mm-hmm.
When I got commissioned as a United States officer in the United States Army, all of my training after that was in the inactive rated reserves. So that was the option that I selected.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your service. And I have a friend who did that kind of a jump from his Army days, and people are surprised when they find out that there's a branch of the Army that is airborne.
Mm-hmm.
And
82nd,
you would think that that's all just for the Air Force, but you guys do a lot of your legwork, if you will, because you had to get there in the air.
Yeah, we're very thankful for the Air Force. They fly us over the drop zone, and then the Sergeant Airborne tells us to jump. And by the time you're jumping, you're really ready to jump. You're so excited about jumping, oddly enough, after the first couple of weeks. You got Hell Week, which is, they literally call it that for a reason, because half the class gets taken out because of broken ankles and knees and so forth. And then the second week is Tower Week, where they're teaching you how to fall, but they take you up 250 feet and then they drop you. And then third week, you actually jump out of the airplane 5 times. And it's a wonderful experience.
Now, what were you thinking on that first one when you have the drop? That sounds more terrifying than jumping out of a plane with a chute to me.
It's so thrilling because the sergeant's standing in the door and you can't hear anything because it's so loud up there. So he does everything with his hands. So he tells you 1 minute and you see the 1 minute sign with your one finger up. And then he puts it in half. He says 30 seconds. And then he tells the first guy to stand in the door. And then that guy, if he doesn't get scared, he'll get a boot in his rear. But then he jumps out and then you have a tight body position. And then you wait for that riser to pull you up like this. You're only jumping about 1,250 feet. So it's not like you're, up there and gliding and hanging out. It's like you're up and then you're down within less than a minute.
My goodness. That sounds cool.
It is cool.
Yeah.
Highly recommended.
All right, David, this is really cool to see how all of these things kind of come together. Discipline, when you think of a dad who was a military guy, sometimes you hear stories about the dad really being so gruff, so regimented, so military, if you will, that there was not a love that went along with it. But that was not your experience.
No, it wasn't at all. My dad, broke the chain in a lot of ways. I'm wearing this shirt called Chain Breaker. I love Zach Williams. But my dad, he comes from brokenness like we all do. And my dad did the best he could. He always would say this statement, I'm doing the best that I can with what I have. And so my dad broke the chain in many ways. I don't think he ever heard I love you from his mom or his dad. And so my dad was very intentional about saying those words to us. I love you. I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. And in addition to that, he was very disciplined related to how we're supposed to respect our mom and respect other people. I remember ever since I was little, my dad would ingrain in me, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. Just those simple elements to begin the framework of what respect should look like.
Now, we seem to have lost that in this day and age with a lot of parents. And, television, movies, I think a very progressive mindset about really not respecting parents. I mean, it's kind of almost inbred in a lot of the educational systems and plans to remove parents from the equation. And it, along with that goes a lot of respect, doesn't it?
It does, no question about it. And I think it starts just with the simple things of how you address somebody. So I wouldn't necessarily say, hi, Mr. Mike. I mean, for my dad, that would be like, no, that's not what you say. You call them by their last name as a form of respect. Same thing with the teachers that I grew up with. I had Mrs. Smith and Mr. Robinson, and I was never able to call them by first name. For my dad, that would have been a very, strong sign of disrespect by calling a person, adult, by their first name when you're younger than they are. So even to this day, for elderly people that are 20 years my senior, I just have a tendency, unless they give me permission, to always say Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. I think that's all because of my dad just kind of pouring into me when I was younger.
And I have a feeling, I really do, and I mean this, that a lot of people today that say, that's crazy. But I bet you, if they were honest down in the heart of hearts, that they respect that as well. I just have a feeling that there's a lot of people today that kind of pooing on everything, poo-poo to that, and I don't believe that, and that's not important. That's kind of old-fashioned. Yeah, well, I don't buy it. Yeah. I think they're not being true to themselves.
Yeah,
because there's something wonderful about when a person knows that they are being respectful, when a person realizes that they are being a gentleman, that it just feels good because it is good.
Yep. No question about it.
And it's not good because our culture says it's good. It's good because that's the way the Bible teaches us to live, to be kind, to be thoughtful, to defer. And, we're living a day, David, where good is not being defined by the right terms anymore.
True.
Yeah, I believe that. Wow. So how did you, what did you do after school? What did you end up doing for a living?
Well, I waited my way through college until I joined the ROTC. Okay, so this is a very interesting part of my story. And that took up a lot of my time. So when I graduated from Liberty, I graduated from Washington and Lee with a military science degree, and then I graduated from Liberty with a business degree. And I didn't want to go back to Miami. Coming from Miami, going to Virginia, I actually realized there was some really nice people in this world. Growing up in Miami, it's just a different environment. Going to Virginia, you've realized that people wave at you on the side of the road or was they're passing by, not because you've done something offensive to them, but they just want to say hello to you, mm-hmm. which is very odd
yeah.
to me, coming from Miami. When somebody waves at you, you know, you either cut them off or something else. So I wanted to be close enough to my family, but I didn't want to be down in Miami. So I selected Orlando at the time. When I was reading all the papers and everything, Orlando was the number one growing city in the nation. So I figured there was lots of job opportunities here. So I moved here in 1991, like I mentioned. And my first job was waiting tables at the Olive Garden on Church Street. And do you remember the Church Street?
Been there many times
yeah.
at that very restaurant.
I probably waited on you.
You might have.
Soup, salad, breadsticks.
Oh, yeah, yep. man. That's me.
That was me, too. So I was the server there. And it was very difficult. I had to sell my car. I was living in some really small apartments there. I walked back and forth to work. I got to know all of the street people and many of the homeless people during that period of time. And but I knew that God wanted me in Orlando. And so during that season, I was working as a waiter, and I was still trying to figure out what God wanted me to do with my life. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, Carolyn's parents saw that I've got a work ethic that's incredible. And I put myself through college and did all that. So they allowed me to still marry her, even though I wasn't secured and safe in terms of my employment.
You were employed, but not as gainfully as what they would have liked.
Exactly. And so to make a long story short, I did find my way into working for Delta Airlines. And so my jobs were, at that time, I'd work at Delta throwing bags gently, by the way.
Hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, Delta, we always toss them very gently.
Yeah, we musicians, we appreciate that.
So I would work from 7 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon at Delta throwing bags. And then I would pick up hotel shifts at all of the Disney hotels as a banquet server. And I would work from 5 o'clock until 1 to 2 in the morning, and then I'd come home, get a few hours sleep, and then I'd start it all over again. But it was at Delta that I found, and you meet people in your life, Mike, that intersect your life, that change the direction of your life mm-hmm. for the good.
It's true.
Before we got on the air, we were talking about R.C. Sproul, and I can tell you lots of wonderful stories about that man, of how he's intersected my life and changed it for the good. But this day, I came into Delta, and I did what most of the guys and gals do in the break room. They either play games, watch TV, or they're reading. I've always been a big reader. I remember hearing the phrase, leaders are readers, and I want to be a leader, and I want to be a reader, and I love that. So I found myself reading all kinds of financial books while I was sitting in the break room waiting for my next flight. One day, a man by the name of Rich, and Rich, if you're listening to this, I love you. I've never been able to find you ever since that day, but you intersected and changed my life for the good. Rich was from New York, and he comes over to me, and he's about my age now, so his mid-50s, and I was in my early 20s at the time. Mm-hmm. And he comes to me, Mike, and he says, with this great New York accent, I try it, but it's, hey, David, I see that you read all those financial books. You think you can help me with my 401k plan? Like almost
that's
like
that's pretty good, actually.
It's like Rocky, yeah. kind of Philadelphia yeah. and New York. But
yo, Adrian.
Yo, Adrian. So I said, hey, Rich, why don't you, I'm just a kid. I said, but why don't you bring your statement in tomorrow and I'll take a look at it. So the next day, Mike, he literally brings in his statement to me. And I had no idea what God wanted me to do with my life. I just know that I have a work ethic. I enjoy reading. I've gotten rejection letters from most institutions in Orlando, financial institutions, banks. I couldn't get in with anybody. And so the next day he brings in a statement, and I've never seen this much money on a piece of paper. And he has like $500,000, and he's trusting me, a 20-something-year-old, to give him guidance and direction. But at that moment, I found that I had a gift. I found that I had the gift for taking complicated things and making them simple, just like R.C. has done around theology. One of my favorite books that R.C. has written is Everyone's a Theologian. But anyways, I sat down with him, and I brought clarity to complexity. And he said a few expletives, which I know this is a Christian radio, so I can't say those things.
Thank you for that.
But he said, David, what are you doing here? You should be some financial advisor or something. And that moment, I'm like, I'm good at something. And I said, really, Rich? He said, yeah, you shouldn't be throwing bags. You should be a financial advisor. So the next day I came in the Delta, and I had a whole new look on life. And our listeners can't see what I'm doing, but I'm opening up the newspaper. And I used to look and see, how do I become a financial advisor? And that's what got my career started, is Rich saying I should be a financial advisor. Next day I came in and looked in the one ads, how do I become a financial advisor? And I found a firm that would at least give me an opportunity. And that was Phoenix Home Life. And I've been a financial advisor since 1992.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, bringing peace to people. I'm a peace provider. And I see my work, you know, as my secondary mission field. My first is my family. My work is my secondary. And in both of those, my responsibility is to bring peace to people, peace to my bride, peace to my kids. I don't always complete that mission. Mm-hmm. Peace to my clients, peace to the people that work alongside me and work. But that's what I do for earning a living, is I bring peace to people in the financial world.
Mm. You know, I'm hearing this story and I'm reminded of a phrase that I've heard for many years, a gift will make room for itself. And that's exactly what happened with you.
Yeah.
You didn't even realize you had that ability. I love that illustration and tying it to RC about taking something complex and then making it seem simpler. It didn't stop being complex. It still is complex. But we sometimes can read through complexity much better than we think if we can see the right path. And that's exactly what you did. Mm-hmm. You saw through to what you needed to do.
Sometimes the forest is so thick that you can't see it until you rise above it, or you need somebody else to slow you down and bring you above it so that you can understand it.
Yeah. I remember one time before we take a break, my mother, when I was a high school student working through early algebra problems, and I was complaining, and my mom did not know algebra, and she said as much. She goes, well, but just tell me what it is that you need to find in this problem. So I started explaining it all to her. Well, here's what it is here. And in my explanation, I suddenly saw the answer. And that's really what you're talking about. Sometimes it is just that. It's restating it. And as we restate it, it becomes simpler.
Well said.
I like it. My guest today is David Hill. We're going to be back. David leads the Iron Men. And we're going to find out about this ministry to men. It's exciting. And some big event is coming up as well that I know you're going to want to hear about. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd.
Listen, we all know in business nowadays, one of the hardest things to get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, right? Trying to get content, good content at that, always struggling with your phone, never understanding the settings, and then when you finally post the picture or video, it looks terrible. Well, I'm about to let you in on a little secret in how to make this problem simply go away. I'm talking about Boundless Drone Services. Let me tell you, Boundless Drone Services takes away all the stress. Brian and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Or maybe you'd like to do what we did at Mark Radio and have them highlight the wonderful team that you have working for you. At Boundless Drone Services, they really can do it all. Contact them today at 407-601-2438 or go directly to their website at boundlessdroneservices.com to see how they can help you take your business to the next level in marketing.
In the studio with me today is David Hill, and David leads the Iron Men, and there's a big conference coming up. We're going to be giving you the details about that, but just something for you to know and mark it down. August 21st, 2021, the Iron Men of God, Forging Your Faith. I love that. Something about that picture. Read a book years ago about the way that a silver forger works. And the book was written by Leonard Ravenhill, and it was all about how that a silversmith, when he's in the fire and he's got silver and he's burning the dross out and forging that silver into some workable piece of art that is beautiful, but before it ever becomes forged into that work, it has to go through the fire to burn all the dross out. And as he's telling this story, he's talking about how the silversmith would pay very close attention and scoop out dross as it would float to the top. But he said when the fire and the heat had done its work, he knew it had done its work when he could look down at the silver and see his reflection. And Ravenhill goes on to say, that's the work that God is doing. When we have gone through the fire, we've gone through the heat, and we reflect the face of our God, that's when we have done what that work was that needed to be put through for the furnace, for the fire, for the trial. That trial sometimes burns it out of us, doesn't it?
And that's what you saw our Savior do,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Yep.
I mean, he struggled and went through, and even though he was in the garden, he was like, let this cup pass. He went through suffering, and on the third day, he redeemed all the suffering
mm-hmm.
with the resurrection.
Mm. It's true.
I know Sandy Shugart wrote a book called The Crucible of Work, and it's about that same thing. Sometimes work is that refining place of heat that ends up creating better character. I know any time that I've been in the crucible of whatever it might be, even though I'm in the midst of it, I may not be thinking that God is refining my character, but that ultimately, if I allow it, is what happens at the end of that.
Yeah, you've said it, and that reminded me, the name of the book that I was talking about is The Refiner's Fire. That's the name of the book, yeah.
Like it.
Read it when I was a young man, just in ministry, and it had a profound impact on my life. Well, tell me how it was that you went from this now new career, helping people find their way financially, but you still have this call on your life, this desire to help men and kind of get the same kind of call that I believe your dad modeled for you.
Well, I'm still a financial advisor to this day, so I'm a bivocational
mm-hmm.
Individual. Brooke was born in 1997, and Bree was born in 2000. Okay, so those are two important milestones. And when both girls were born, I set a vision for myself that I wanted to not look back with any regrets with these two little girls. I wanted to continue to pursue their mom so that they saw it, because I remember the phrase, things are caught more than they're taught. And I wanted to continue to pursue Carolyn and love her and demonstrate that love through my actions. So, sweetie, as you're listening to this, I love you very, very much. So I also wanted to be a great dad. And so Brooke was born in 97 and Bree was born in 2000. And I found my life was like this. I'd wake up during that season. I'd go work out, kiss my wife goodbye, say goodbye to the kids. And I'd go to work and I'd come home and I'd be the fun daddy. And that was it. I wasn't really in community with other men in particular. And that was my life from 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003. My girls are getting older, and they're not teenagers yet, but they're getting older. And I'm like, you know, I'm seeing some guys around me. I see how they love their wife, and I'm jealous. I'm like, man, I want to love my wife.
That's good.
I want to love my wife that
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
And I see how these guys' kids were turning out. I'm like, man, I want my kids to turn out that way. And then I'd see how a guy could articulate the faith, not only with his wife and his kids, but also in his work world. And I'm like, man, I want to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2008, I started hunting with a rifle. And it really sounds kind of selfish when I say how Ironman started. We didn't have a name or a logo or a shirt or anything like that. It was just one guy wanting to hang out with some other guys to become a better rounded man in the area of faith, articulating faith and loving my wife and leading my kids well, and also leading in the community as a business leader. And I'm an entrepreneur, and it's what I do. And there's a bad side to that. I'm a driver. I'm a type A, and I need some guys to kind of pull me back from time to time, make sure that I'm not losing true north. And I have a tendency to sometimes do that, even a one degree directional shift. If I do it long enough, I'll be nowhere close to where true north is. And for me, true north was, I want to end the day by being a great father, end the day by knowing that I was a great husband and a great follower of Christ. So in 2008, I started hunting with a rifle, and I identified a couple of guys that I just respected the heck out of them. And I know that they're going to listen to this podcast or this radio show as well. And I love these guys. And we started doing some life together. We said, all right, let's create some margin in our work week. So Fridays became that day at 7 a.m. They would meet at my house, and we'd let the group sit for anywhere between 3 to 6 months before we'd invite another guy into the group. Most of the guys that are in the group, even to this day, are pastors like yourself, or they're business leaders. And they have a very common DNA, pastors and business leaders. Both of those spots are very lonely places, and it's hard to be able to trust and confide in other guys. And that's the kind of guy that I enjoy doing life with. I enjoy doing life with guys that are running 1,000 miles an hour. So in 2008, it was myself and two or three other guys, and then we invite another guy in, then we invite another guy in, and another guy. And we did this 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 before we went public with Ironman. And there's about 15 to 17 of us that would meet every Friday in my house from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. And we did that for all those years. And then one day God, you know, says to me, I need you to break up once a month. And so once a month we decided to break up, and I can tell you more of the story.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Do tell me.
Okay. It's amazing. As I look back since 2008, God has created seven C's, the letter C, that's helped me navigate the metaphoric seas of life. And sometimes, you know, the seas of life can be pretty traumatic.
Hmm. Play on words here. I like it.
Mm-hmm. And so God's
seven C's
of Ironman, it's been developing ever since 2008, starting with a focus on Christ. That's the first and most important C out of all of them. And so once a month, I came to the guys and I said, hey guys, this is 2014. And I said, I think that God wants us to break up once a month, just the last Friday. And the last Friday, we'll sponsor a coffee in our community. So I went to a very kind businessman in our community. His name is Charlie Roper. Love you, Charlie. And ask him to donate his space above Oxum Coffee in downtown Winter Garden. Hmm. And we would sponsor a coffee once a month and bring in a great speaker and gather men from all denominations, all colors, all ethnicities, all ages in one place. And so once a month, we would do it on a Friday morning, 7 a.m. to 8. We called this thing, because by then we have a name now, we're calling ourselves Iron Men of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to be Iron Men, both physically, mentally, spiritually, but it takes discipline to be able to do that, which goes back to the beginning of our interview. So we launched our ministry publicly in 2014 with our first Iron Men coffee in downtown Winter Garden, and we've been doing that once a month in 2014. We did it once a month, 2015, 16, 17, and 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then God pressed on my heart to come back to these guys and say, guys, I think that God wants us to break up every week. I would love for you guys to all be table captains, but I recognize that you're all busy running ministry or business. So no pressure, no stress. But in 2018, I went to John Rivers, Four Rivers. Love you, John. I'm going to send this radio podcast to you as well. Appreciate your heart for men in our community. So I went to John and asked him if he would be kind enough to donate the Four Rivers location to us in Winter Garden, and he was kind enough to do that. And so every Friday we meet now, starting in 2018, at Four Rivers in Winter Garden, 7 a.m., sorry, boys, no brisket, but lots of Bible. So 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday at Four Rivers. The last Friday, we meet above Oxum Coffee in the garden room, thanks to Charlie Roper. And so we did that all through 18, 19. COVID hit. We went virtual. And then we've been back live for the last six, 7 months. We meet above Oxum on the last Friday. And then the first 3 weeks of the month, we are actually meeting at Four Rivers.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's the sea is Christ. Here's the seven seas.
Now, see, I mean, even the play on words along the seven seas. I mean, this is awesome. I love it.
All right. So here's the seven seas.
Yeah, I want to hear them.
All right. Everybody write these
I'm
down.
I'm writing it down.
Write it down. All right. So Christ is first, foremost, the most important. You know, when Jesus left this planet, he gave us a mission, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Told
he
us
did.
To go tell the good news and make disciples. And so all that Iron Man at the end of the day is a discipleship ministry.
Mm-hmm.
We're just creating processes around creating disciples. So C is Christ. Second, coffee.
Hey, I like this already.
Yeah. Ironman Coffee, come and hang out. Oxum is so kind to donate coffee to us every month. So thank you, Oxum. Ironman Coffee, connect, which is the, coffee is not really discipleship. It's more like designed for church for men. I love all the speakers we have. Speakers come and speak for about 40 minutes. We designed it so a man can come, hang out, get inspired, and leave, and not necessarily be in community. But we get to tell them about what we're doing related to community, which is the third C, which is connect. Connect is what's happening at Four Rivers. And connect is very different. This is not a personality ministry. It's never been based around one person. We've been very free to pass the mic. And so in connect, we have over 30 different teaching fellows. And again, Chris Larson, thank you so much. Ligonier, appreciate you guys so much, because this ministry, Pat Morley, thank you so much for your work as well, as a blend of Ligonier's influence in my life and Pat Morley's No Man Left Behind influence in my life.
See, man in the mirror.
Man in the mirror, baby. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for those guys. But it's a blend of those two ministries and plus what God has given me to create teaching fellows at Ironman Connect that teach for 10 minutes and then give three questions to table captains that then facilitate conversation. So that's the third C, which is Ironman Connect, happening every Friday at Four Rivers. The fourth C is Ironman Challenge. We've created literally dozens of challenges for men to come and do life with other men, a whole list of those types of things. We learned, as an example, that there were children sleeping on floors in our community. So we wanted to partner with the community, in East Winter Garden in particular, to have the community come alongside of us and us alongside of them to be able to build beds and have them build beds for the children in their community. So we partnered with Sleep in Heavenly Peace. So thankful for that ministry as well. And as far as I'm aware, there's no children sleeping on floors in our community anymore because of that partnership. But that's a challenge. That's an example of a challenge. That's the fourth C. The fifth C is this year, and each year that we've had Ironman Coffee, we've created a theme. So in 14, there was a theme, 15, there was a theme, 16, there was a theme, 17. This year, the theme for Ironman is apologetics. And so we've never done a conference before, never. This is our first year. So the fifth C is conference. God called us this year to do our first conference for the community of men in Central Florida. And so this year, the theme happens to be apologetics. And so we decided to use Lee Strobel's book. Love you, Lee. So thankful and excited that you're going to be coming into our community, brother. So we use The Case for Christ as the book for the structure of Ironman 2021. And we thought, what would it look like if every month we covered one of these big topics, starting in January of 2021? Does God exist? Next month, why does God allow for pain and suffering? Is there scientific evidence to prove? And these big questions, and then have it culminate with a conference on August 21st with Lee Strobel, a one-day equipping conference teaching men how to defend the faith with love and grace.
And Lee will be there himself?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
In the flesh.
In the flesh.
Not virtual.
No.
Wow.
In person. And we're thankful for Real Life for hosting us out in Claremont. Lee will deliver four general sessions. And we've got worship that's going to be crazy awesome. We've got five different churches that are going to be represented bringing worships to the body of Christ. We've got eight breakout sessions led by five different pastors, actually eight different pastors, five different churches represented in this community. So we really wanted to showcase the body of Christ the diverse nature of the body of Christ in men. And so that'll be on August 21st. It's a one-day equipping conference. Doors will open around 8:15. Lee will get on the stage right around 8:30 or so. And we're going to have a full day of this beautiful opportunity to be able to defend the gospel with love and grace.
The fifth C, conference.
The fifth C is conference. And these last two C's are so important. So what's happened at Ironman Connect, which is what happened with me in my home in 2008 all the way to 14 and still to this day, is I've got a band of brothers that I can trust with my wife, my wallet, and my life. And so men don't trust guys very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a man trusts another man, though, he's willing to confess and let light into darkness.
Mm-hmm. So confess.
Confess.
Wow.
And when a man confesses and allows for light to come into darkness, Mike, it can't help but create change.
Absolutely.
That's the last C.
Mm-hmm.
Change. Yeah. So those are the seven C's of Ironman. And when we started this thing back in 2008, who would have known that we would have had all of these awesome C's? But here we are.
That is so brilliant, and I love it. And I think of Lee Strobel's impact on the body of Christ. I mean, he begins really, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, really trying to prove it wasn't true, and ends up becoming a believer as a result of the evidence that is there in the Word of God. And there are those, and boy, are we seeing it today, right, where people are trying to tear down our ability to basically defend the gospel, but the gospel is going to come out ahead.
Amen.
You know, every nation, the Roman Empire from there on down, has tried to stamp it out. And I think of the words that Bill Gaither penned, kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But I tell you what, there's something about the name of Jesus.
I could sing that song
right now, buddy. They may pass away, but the name of Jesus will never pass away.
That is such an important thing for me to hear you say, because it's so confirming. Because for us, 100 years from now, Mike, nobody's going to remember Iron Men of God. Nobody's going to remember my name of my company or David Hill, but they're going to remember Jesus.
Yep.
They're going to remember Jesus, and that's the focus for us.
That's it. Hey, we're out of time for this break. We'll be back with David Hill one more time. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. Last segment here with my guest today, David Hill from Iron Men of God. Just hearing the story, first of all, of the beginning, and then this most brilliant, really stepping plan. I think of the beautiful stepping stones that people put in the middle of a garden that will wind and carefully get you through the walkway, if you will, those stones. That's kind of what I think of when I see these seven C's. And I love the imagery of the seven C's. But Christ, coffee, connect, challenge, conference, confess, and change. Now, that's brilliantly put, my friend. Well done. I think it's going to be great. And that fifth is the conference that we're talking about, which is going to feature Lee Strobel right here in Central Florida. Give us all the details on that meeting again.
All right. I want to make sure I got all seven of those. Is that seven in there?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We got them?
Christ, Coffee, Connect, Challenge, Conference, Confess, and Change.
Okay. Good.
You did great.
Good.
I was keeping track. I was writing them down as
Sweet.
You went.
Thank you. All right. Yeah. So the conference is August 21st. So on a Saturday.
Yep.
And Lee's going to be doing four general sessions, and we'll have eight breakout sessions. John has been kind enough to donate Four Rivers. So we've got Four Rivers there. Ale House is going to be there as well. Caribbean Sunshine Bakery for food, and then House Blend. So we got some awesome food for guys. We've got some men that are sponsoring entire football teams. I've got one man that sponsored the football team, the baseball team, and the basketball team for Foundation Academy. Foundation Academy is one of the sponsors, so love you, Dave Buckles. We've got a man that this morning is going to be purchasing a whole bunch of tickets just for the First Academy to bring all of their men there. There was a gentleman that I met this morning who heads up apologetics for the First Academy, and so he is so excited because they use Lee's material at First Academy to be able to teach apologetics. So, yeah, got a lot of energy going on with it right now.
Yeah, that is an exciting day without a doubt. And realizing that Lee Strobel, who has been so influential across the country, continuing to do these type of programs, that's really great that you're able to. He's got to be one of the most busy and sought after speakers, and that he's coming to your conference. It's got to be a thrill.
It is a thrill. Yeah, no question about it. It's when we reached out to him, they were so kind to know that we were focusing on his book, The Case for Christ, as the framework for Ironman 2021. And when we told him what the vision was to have a conference with 1,000 men, that's the number that God put in my heart. Not sure how many guys we'll have there, but God put 1,000 on my heart. So real life is going to be able to accommodate that. We'll have that many guys in the sanctuary, but then we've got 8 breakout sessions for us to be able to do the breakout sessions, yeah, which will be really cool.
That's awesome. Well, friends, you can find out more information about this by going to your website. Give that to us one more time.
You can go to ironmenconference.org, or you can go to ironmenofgod.com, both which will take you to the conference. So you go to ironmenconference.org, O-R-G, or you can go to ironmenofgod.com.
And we'll bring that back up one more time at the end of the program. The rest of our time, this segment, I would love to have you, your organization, your scope, the purpose of your ministry, reaching out to these men. And I love the fact that God has grown this for you. He's lifted it up because you began with just a group of people that, yeah, you were discipling on Friday mornings in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's affecting our whole area. And so you're a good person to ask this question. With the current thing that's going on in our culture where gender is being completely now whitewashed and split and divided into so many. I mean, you know, we know it's not truly being done. You don't take what God has done and make so many multiples of that. But I mean, to see how many people on a form, when you're filling out a form and you get to the gender box, it used to just be 2. And now there's a wild card space where anything could be filled in.
Right.
What kind of advice are you giving to dads that you come across who have children who are somewhat buying into all of this because it's being force-fed not only on them, but on all of us right now?
Yeah, it's a complex question. I will tell you, Iron Man is not just one man. There's a group of us, and now there's a community of us. We still meet, the core guys, we meet on the first Thursday of the month, and there's 17 of us that are in the core. And certainly there's lots of other guys now that are in the extended core related to Iron Man. So I'm very thankful for all the guys that do lift the trampoline to go from one side of the yard to the next. It's just not one guy pulling it. You know, the conversation related to gender is fairly an interesting one because I recognize that everything is broken from the very beginning of creation. We're all broken. Creation mm-hmm. is broken, and everything is groaning before, looking forward to Christ's coming back so that he can repair and fix everything related to that. But everything is broken. You know, my natural tendency is to myself. It's not to God right when I'm born. And so for the parents that are, you know, struggling, fortunately in our group, there isn't very many of the guys that I can think of in our inner circle guys that have gender dysphoria or any of these types of things that are happening within a genetic, you know, dysfunction of sorts because of the brokenness that we all exist in. You know, the counsel is to always look at people with glasses of grace, you know, no matter what the situation is, to look at people with glasses of grace and to love them irrespective of where they are. That's what Jesus would do. I think about the account of the gospel when Peter denied Jesus on the third time. One of the gospels says that Jesus turned and caught his eye. And I can't imagine that Jesus would look at him and go, knew you'd do it. told you, called you on it. But I'm sure that he looked at Peter with glasses of grace and extended grace to him. And at the same time, you know, this in our culture right now, everybody is so sensitive to gender items. I can choose to be whatever I want to be. And I think that might be the point that you're making, is that if I want to say that I'm a woman, I can say that I'm a woman. If I want to say that I'm something else, I could say that. Now, I don't want to go too far down chasing that rabbit, but I, you know, for men that are struggling with their kids in that area, I'm always first to come and just listen and pray with them, because I recognize that we all have an enemy. We all have an enemy that wants to seek and destroy us, and he wants to confuse us. And when someone knows the truth, they're more apt to be able to see much clearer. And sometimes the question is what is truth? And part of the conference is to define what is truth. And that's what I define as our true north. And, you know, if we define truth as the Bible, as God's word, then we have to learn how to be able to defend it and be able to defend it well, because that is our true north. God is our true north. His word is our true north. And when we begin to understand what the Bible says about these things, and have a different worldview, have a biblical worldview, it begins to help us understand things like gender dysphoria, some of these other types of things. I don't even know if that's the right word to use related to that. I'd rather say just brokenness related to humanity.
Well, so. The sad thing is that any term that you use might be in vogue today, but might be outlawed in a couple of weeks. That's kind of the, I believe, some of the insanity that's been going on in our news media and in our schools. And it's a changing, dynamic, ever-changing atmosphere. But I'm just grateful. Here's why I asked you that question. Is you're calling your organization Iron Men. And I just applaud that, because I think it's, there are many in our culture who would want you to say Iron People.
Yeah.
But we do realize that God's called men to lead, and called men, it says, as iron sharpens, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. God is not embarrassed to call men, men.
Yeah, I think that I see what your question is now. The men have lost their way, and there's a lot of men that don't know what it means to be a man. And it could be because of the brokenness of how their father had his own brokenness, and they weren't able to instill those things like my dad did with me. And I meet a lot of young men and older men that still struggle with a father wound of sorts, and they have this big hole where they're struggling, maybe not with gender necessarily, but with other things, relational things. And so we found that that has been a place for Iron Men to be able to disciple men to what it means, to define what it means to be a man, a godly man, to lead. I do think also in a lot of ways that men have taken a back seat in the church. And so I know that in my home, my wife is a very strong lady. If I take a back seat, my wife will lead. And I love that about her. But I know that she has a natural inclination and a desire for me to also be the leader. She looks for that. And I think in the church, that also has happened, where men have justified being busy. You know, I'm busy working, or I'm busy doing this, busy doing that. And so then they sit back and they do other work-oriented things.
I think they come home and they're ready to kick back and do nothing.
Yeah. And it's killed the church in a lot of ways, the fact that men have taken a seat back. And and I'm thankful for our women for doing the part that they do in the church, no question about it. But where are the men? Where are the men in the churches? Where are the men that are coming alongside their shepherd and holding their shepherd's arms up and encouraging their shepherd when he's getting beat up? I've got a heart. Iron Man has a heart for pastors, bro. I've never understood what it felt like to be attacked by the enemy until 2008, when we started this thing called Iron Man. And so I have a real heart, and all of the core guys have a heart for pastors. And for men that are out there that are, I just kind of pricked something in your heart saying, yeah, I've been taking a back seat. here's a challenge. Step up and into.
Mm-hmm.
Step up and into your pastor's life. Don't be an idea guy that's not willing to execute.
Yeah.
Go to your pastor and say, brother, I've got an idea that I want to run. And you will see that pastor grow, you know, 12 inches tall, taller than what he was.
It's really great to see men who are doing that, and even to hear about these meetings that you've been having. It's going to culminate now in this big conference with all of these people. You've got so much of the community who are supporting it and who are helping sponsor it and providing, like you said, food for it. It's really going to be a great time. And that would be a great introduction, friends, if you're out there and you're, this is sounding, yeah, I want to be a part of that. I would, I think my husband, if you're a wife is listening, then share this podcast with him in podcast form. And maybe he can come to this meeting and go to the website again. Give us that website one more time.
IronmenConference.org or go to IronmenOfGod.com.
I can't tell you how much fun it has been to have David Hill, a man whose priorities, I believe, are right, my friend. And thank you for doing it. Thank you for wanting to honor God, but also wanting to honor your wife, also wanting to honor your children, and then to serve strongly in the church.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
It's great to have you. Friends, thank you for joining us as well. We'll catch you next time on Afternoons with Mike.